My name's Jono Bacon, and I like massive, epic blockbuster games.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I like quirky little indie puzzle games.
And this is...
Shot of Jack. It is an article of faith that Linux users don't like paying for software and that gaming on Linux is pointless. Recent events in the indie gaming world, though, may herald the beginning of a change. In the last couple of years, we've seen a number of indie game developers start to make their games available on Linux. To be clear here, we're talking about commercial game houses, people building a game with the intention of selling it and making money. And Linux is not the first or only platform that they support. The constant refrain from those developers who do decide to make their games available on Linux is one of surprise. It seems that once you've decided to go multi-platform with your game anyway, a Linux port isn't all that hard. But more importantly, there's actually a market out there. Linux users punch above their weight when purchasing games, both in terms of how much they're prepared to spend and in how many games you'll sell to them. It's still early days yet, and we shouldn't get too excited at this stage, but it's beginning to look like it would be all of possible, sustainable and financially rewarding to have a vibrant market on Linux for commercial indie published games. That sounds like something we should welcome with open arms, right?
I think somebody would be an absolute idiot if they didn't want to welcome this with open arms. I mean, it sounds like, without wanting to talk it up too much, but it sounds like the beginning of a revolution in Linux. It sounds like, I mean, we've known for years that people love games. And, you know, it's like, you know, whenever I do my video cast on a Wednesday to the Ubuntu community, every single time when I do this Q&A, people ask about games, every single time, because it's an important need in computing. What I think is interesting, like you say, is we're starting to see some real evidence that there's a market there. I'm not just talking about technology here. I mean, as an example, World of Goo, you know, a game that came out a little while back, they had this pay what you want scheme, and they had Linux users were paying between 1.5 times and 2 times what other platforms were paying. You know, the humble indie bundle made $1 million. I mean,
this is exactly it. And both the humble indie bundle was a combination of 5 or 6 games, and again, they did a very similar scheme where they said, okay, there's a month or 3 weeks or whatever the period was,
yeah,
and people can go along, and they said you can pay what you want and you get these games. So you would think, you know, this is not really the way to make money, but in practice, you know, the humble indie bundle, as John says, made $1 million. And everyone who's done this, there are There's that bunch. There's Frictional, who did Penumbra. There's the chap who did Mystic Mine. There's Hemisphere Software, who did Osmos. And they're all actually... These are not just people who are releasing games on Linux, commercial games, but people who are sitting down and writing about the experience. And the constant thread in everything they've written is that they're genuinely surprised. They honestly thought, well, you know, Linux is probably not going to be worth it, but we'll give it a go anyway. And it's turned out absolutely that every time they do it, they get more Linux sales than they're expecting, and Linux people are prepared to pay more money than they're expecting. And it goes completely against the grain. The traditional idea is that no one on Linux will pay for games. They don't pay for software. They're used to the idea that software all ought to be free. All they'll do is bitch about the fact that your game isn't open source and no one will buy it. And so that's absolutely not the case.
So let's break this down a little bit. I mean, why do we think this is? I mean, it's interesting the fact that, like you say, there's been this stereotype in the Linux world that Linux users won't pay for anything, and some of that's been, you know, some of that's been driven by the fact that other people have attempted to try and, you know, generate revenue through this. Like Mandriva, as an example, when they were Mandrake, they had the Mandrake Club, in which they thought that the way they could support a business was essentially people donating to them, and they get content. And that didn't really work out for them. But that was a long time ago. Do you get the impression that the worm has turned now, and now we're attracting another demographic of people who are happy to go and buy content, you know, if it's like $6 here or $10 there or whatever it might be?
I think so. Some of this, I think, has come about because the mobile phone app stores have given people the idea that paying for a piece of software is not a totally unreasonable thing to do. Because, I mean, the Mac world has always been like this. On Apple Macs, traditionally, there's been loads of software out there which cost $5, $10, $15, and $20, and people were quite prepared to pay for that. The sort of apps that we take for granted on the Linux desktop, we've talked about a number of them in the past. Things like Mumble or Gedit or Epiphany or whatever are the sorts of apps that people on a Mac would go and pay $5 for, and it would be a perfectly acceptable and reasonable thing in that community and in that environment if you built an app like Epiphany to charge people $5 for it.
Yeah, and absolutely.
People would pay. And that sort of, I think some of this also is the fact that the Linux community is growing beyond the core technical users who compile their own kernel or what have you. We're now getting
I think
I'm prepared to pay $5 to get something that I think is cool.
Yeah, and the thing is as well is that I think if maybe part of it is the fact that there's some great games on Linux, but the kind of quality that you get in these games isn't available in open source by and large. You know, there are definitely some good open source games out there, but these games are, you feel like you're getting something special when you pay for this, right? I mean, World of Goo, as an example, has been, lots of people have said it's hellishly addictive and it's really well made and it looks beautiful and all the rest of it, but you can't get that. You can't get that in the Ubuntu Software Center, you know, in terms of an open source game. I guess the next question is, what can we in the Linux community do to make this more attractive? It's clearly the start of a little bit of a revolution going on. You know, more and more people are open to the idea of buying games and applications as well. Obviously, the Linux distributions, I think, will capitalize on this and make this really easy to install and set up and all the rest of it. But what do you think that we need to do to attract more of these kinds of opportunities for games publishers?
Realistically, what we need to do is reduce the pain points. When I said that the constant thread going through everyone writing about commercial game publishing on Linux is a thread of surprise, there are actually two threads. The first one is of surprise that people are prepared to pay for the games, and the second one is how much building games on Linux is a pain in the arse. And it's always the same complaints. The audio APIs are dreadful and complicated. You have to build 322 different versions for 322 different Linux distributions. The whole thing is fragmented. There's no current documentation on the right way to do things. I mean, these are a constant set of complaints. Someone who's not living and breathing the Linux desktop and staying up to date with the latest innovations on Planet GNOME and reading the Linux kernel mailing list comes into it and says, okay, how do I play background music and then play another piece of audio on top of it at the same time? And if you ask that kind of question on your blog, you write something like, I'm thinking of porting to Linux, how do I do the following things? You get 50 different answers. People say, oh, you should be using OSS, you should be using OSS4, you should be using ALSI, you should be using Pulse Audio, you should be using OpenAL, you should be using Jack. And people, you know, someone coming into this environment doesn't think, wow, what an incredibly rich and diverse environment you have here. What they think is, what the fuck? Get stuffed. I just want to know the way to do it. And because, as ever, we, the Linux community, are our own worst enemies in this, we'd much rather have an argument amongst ourselves than actually grow the market for independent games on Linux. So, what I think we need to do is find a way of making those pain points not necessarily go away, but provide clearer descriptions to a commercial indie game developer about which technologies they should use and how they can get their games on everyone's desktop without having to understand all the detail.
Well, the thing is, as well, is this, I mean, the platform issues don't just apply to games publishers as well. I mean, we find a lot of people who come to Linux and they say, okay, I'd like to port or I'd like to produce a new app. And I'm faced with a million different options. And I think it's part of it is that we're terrible at exposing the platform. We're terrible at saying these are an opinionated set of choices that will help you to make your application work. And in the games publishing world, it seems like there's a lot of consolidation around things like, you know, OpenGL. So they need to know how they can get OpenGL running on Linux and various other bits and pieces. It sounds like it's such an easy problem to solve, but it seems like, you know, once games developers get over that hump, there's definitely an opportunity to make money there.
Yeah, no, absolutely there is. What I'd love to see is a group of committed community people who want to see a vibrant games environment on Linux get together and put together a I don't know whether you'd call it a manual or what, but a thing that you can hand to a commercial game developer who's thinking of porting their game to Linux and say, this is how you use OpenGL the right way. This is the audio API that you could use, which is suitable for games. This is the graphics APIs that you should use, which are suitable for games and are well supported. This is the way you ought to package your game so that it's accessible to the most number of people. Or they say, okay, you package your game in this way and we will take care of making sure there is an Ubuntu version and an Ubuntu x64 version and a Fedora version and an OpenSUSE version and a .tar.gz for people who don't have any of that. We will recommend to you whether you should statically link a library or depend on the distribution for it.
Yeah,
because
all
of these questions are really, really difficult to answer. And someone who's coming into going into the Windows game development world doesn't have to think about this kind of thing. Someone who's going into the Mac development world doesn't have to think about this kind of thing. And I absolutely agree with your point that this is a problem for all ISVs, whether they're game publishers or app publishers or what. But I'd love to see someone just concentrate on it for games. Just go to the game developers, talk about what they need, and then come up with an opinionated set of choices which say, this is what you want, these will provide the things that you need. Now, this is what you do. Don't ask a million other people for their advice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that's what we think. We think that, you know, this is great, this kind of, you know, this kind of trend that's happening where people are happy to go and buy games and where games publishers are obviously taking more of an interest in the Linux platform. But you know, that's what we think. What do you think? Do you buy games? What are your favorite games? Which games have you purchased? What kind of genres would you buy? How much money would you commit to buying games? Would you be happy to pay as much as some of the, you know, store games, like $30 or $40 or whatever else? You need to go to shotofjack.org where you heard this shot and leave your comments there.
Or you can get in touch with us directly at shotofjack.org/discuss. Are you a game publisher? Are you thinking about porting game to Linux? Or have you already ported game to Linux? Get in touch with us. Tell us what you think.
And we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.